Podcast, episode 423, League versus the Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. I'm Matt Durson.
Hey, Van Helsing.
Sam first.
Okay. Sam the first. No, just welcome back, Sam. It's we last saw you on our live show that we did for once.
Okay, we did a live.
Yeah, that was great. Yep. And yeah, but we're bringing you back because Halloween is like your jam.
Yeah,
Bailey. Right? Yeah.
It's when people reach out to me the most to do things for them.
Oh,
for sure.
It's like come on our podcast.
That yeah.
We're also
well, now, I didn't mean that, but yeah.
Well, thank you. I thank you for taking the time out to do this.
I know busy,
this
is, man, so thanks.
This is your busy time, and yeah, but this is also you also picked this movie, which I really appreciate that because. You know, I had never heard of this movie before.
It's definitely one of those movies that I think kind of falls by the wayside. It doesn't live up to a lot of the hype that its brethren do because the Hammer horror films in general.
Oh, I thought you just meant kung fu horror movies. I didn't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, definitely that sense, but even just like the overarching. Umbrella of the Hammer horror Dracula films, this one kind of gets lost a lot of the time, I think, and I don't think gets a lot of love.
Yeah, I think so, because it's weird too. There's different versions. There's like a 72 minute version, and there's like apparently they shot like a 110 minute version that they were just like no, like I don't know. There were all kinds of problems. We'll get into all that, but yeah, this one I had never heard of it, so I was glad to. It's glad to check it out. Peter Cushing always
acts the shit out of anything.
Yeah.
I was like looking at his face and I was like, what a face. Like, can people even look like that now or are they just too fat?
Maybe you're right. Maybe they're too fat.
You know who actually he resembles a great deal? If you look at a lot of the younger pictures I talk about, like I mentioned this before, I think, but. Peter Cushing, when he was young, looks a lot like Bradley Cooper. He actually
Peter Cushing was young? I didn't know he was actually. I always expected, I kept expecting it to say, you may fire when ready. You know, like that's the only, obviously I know him most from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Probably everyone from our generation does, but.
Oh, yeah, he was in Rogue One.
he was, sort of. You know, he had other, he did a lot of these kinds of movies, actually. So.
Yeah, I mean, he was a staple for the Hammer horror films in general. You know, he's in all the Dracula ones. He's in The Mummy. He plays Dr. Frankenstein in the Frankenstein series. And beyond that, I mean, he would do, you know, he'd do schlocky films. He did, there was one called Shockwaves, which is about Nazi zombies.
Oh.
Nazi zombies, kung fu vampires. Whoa, they really covered all the.
yeah. And then, you know, I mean, a widely known fact, but also not amongst people who don't look into Peter Cushing's career, is that Peter Cushing was actually originally up for the role of Dr. Loomis in Halloween. And he ultimately turned it down, and he talked about it being one of the bigger regrets that he had about his career.
Oh, damn. You don't like to hear about regrets.
Mm.
But, yeah, he was in a lot of those, the Hammer horror movies. And is this the first one, though, that did not have Christopher Lee as Dracula? Did I read that correctly somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, so Christopher Lee had a love-hate relationship with the Hammer horror films. He felt that they got cheaper and cheaper and less worth his time as time went on. And while this is not the last one, this was like sort of in the middle. Like this was the one where he was just like, no, I'm not going to do that. And
if you think of screen time, you know, Dracula face doesn't get a ton of screen time in this.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, well, the opening scene, you know, sets that up so that they don't even really need to pay attention to it. But, you know, Christopher Lee, I'd say that I think the first three Dracula films, he like actually is a real like significant contributor. After that, he started to just be like, no, I'm not talking in this. So he would do the movies, but he just wouldn't. He's like, Dracula doesn't say anything in this one. I'm not acting. And so, there's a handful of Hammer Dracula movies where Christopher Lee says like two lines in the entire thing.
Well, there you go. I guess it's a shame he didn't consider this one worth his time. But I guess you could, like Clay said, it's not a lot of Dracula in it. Maybe there would have been if you'd done it. And I don't know about the different versions. Like I said, there's.
This is all connected because Peter Cushing plays Van Helsing in all of them.
Right. It's sort of like even when he's giving his speech, he's coming to China because he's an expert on vampires.
Yeah.
Listen, Chinese people, don't fuck around with vampires. I know a lot about vampires.
I mean, but Peter Cushing, you know, he put his all in for all of them. He was always pretty great. But you know, he even played Van Helsing in the ones that were supposed to take place 100 years later, and he's playing the grandson of Van Helsing.
Oh.
Which are actually a couple of my favorites, which is Dracula, AD 1972, and Satanic Rites of Dracula, which is a direct follow-up to that one.
So I guess we should give we don't have to get too much into the plot, like I said, but we can get into it a little bit because I feel like a lot of people, maybe like myself, had never seen this. So, Van Helsing is lecturing in China, and he is approached about helping these seven kung fu trained siblings reclaim. Their ancestral mountain home, which has been taken over by seven powerful vampires, or six, I guess.
And an undead army, let's not forget.
Yeah, and the undead army, which I have to say, the army is my favorite. The way they run through the, like, in the fight scenes, the way, like, the zombie vampire thing, I guess that's what they're zombies, undead, whatever. They look like they're, like, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, like running with the coconuts, you know what I mean? Like, it's hilarious. But that's just an aside. So anyway, that's like the thing. His son comes with them, and this lady is Vanessa Buren. She sort of finances, bankrolls them. So that's kind of that's the setup.
We get the nice, you know, flashback kung fu scene. But I mean, so I guess we sort of skipped over with the opening.
That was the just opening like the tagline, you know, like the log line part.
That's what happens. But yeah, the opening is very, very cheaply done in the best possible way. Can we talk about the D on Dracula's coffin? Classic vampire Old English D. That I feel like I've seen other places.
You know, I hadn't watched this film in a while, and I will say that I was like, even for dubbing, this was bad.
This scene in particular is like, oh, that's D for dubbing, the D on the coffin. So this guy, like, I believe is a Ka. What is it? I forget what his name now.
It's K-E-H.
So he travels and he finds the tomb of Dracula, and
we Dracula, have to say,
he comes to Dracula for help to regain the power
of the seven
golden vampires, and Dracula's like, screw that, I'm gonna take it.
Yeah, and he takes over his body.
It's
like a face off.
The fishing rod bats flying around, you know, like, ooh, there's bats. And then just like Viago in What We Do in the Shadows movie, Dracula comes up on some rig, So he's standing straight up.
Yeah, this is where
you're introduced to our imposter, Christopher Lee Dracula, which now that I looked at the years, it is actually probably the last of the Hammer vampire films.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, looking at the years. So this definitely was like, this was like the final straw of of Christopher Lee being like, nah.
Never mind. Wow. So this is John Forbes Robertson, who, you know, I guess did some stuff, but
he's
nothing
the
really.
Only other actor than Christopher Lee to play Dracula, according to Wiki.
Well, other than like
for the Hammer film.
For the Hammer film. Right. Yeah, not ever.
Not ever, right. Just want to make sure we all. But yeah, no, you know, not as convincing a Dracula as Christopher Lee, but
I have to ask Sam if he's seen The Legend of Hammer Vampires in 2008. Apparently he was the narrator, or he appeared in that Legend of Hammer Vampires 2008 doc.
I can't say that I have.
Oh, well, here we go. That's pretty good, because it's according to this, like, died in 2008. So he must have done that just before he died in May of 2008 at 80 years old. So he must have done that not too long before he died. That's terrible. Anyway, so yeah, here we are. That's like the setup, the scene where he's like, I'll take over. I'll take that power and I'll take over your body. And then we jump like about 100
years.
I'll
take your face. How do you like that?
And they jump forward about 100 years. That's in 1804. And then in 19, oh, it is 100 years. It is. Why did I say about 100 years? It's exactly 100 years. And
they always do that, Peter, in the horror movies. It's like an exact round number. 100 years ago. And they even said,
the other thing with this is like, that seems like it would really fuck up the entirety of the Hammer Dracula films as far as like a cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Dracula is just farting around in China.
Yeah, what did he do for all that time? What did he just like, all right, now I'm asleep for 100 years. And then I'll go after this power.
Yeah, what's he even doing there?
Yeah. Well, hanging out. Anyway, yeah, so next we jump. Peter Cushing as Professor Van Helsing is lecturing, all these.
Lecturing a bunch of naysayers. They're all like, whatever, man, I'm out of here. Getting up. If Peter Cushing, or I'm sorry, if Van Helsing was giving a lecture and I'm there in class, I'm like getting up and walking out. I want to hear everything about these vampires.
Well, I don't think they believed that there was such a thing.
They're like, balderdash.
Except that one guy. Balderdash, yes.
And he was like, I think he was like, they did close-ups of him, like, in the class. And there was only, like, maybe 10 people in the class. But then, like, Van Helsing, when that guy shows up at his apartment, he's like, oh, who are you?
He doesn't recognize.
He's like, I was in the class. He's like, oh, yes.
You're the one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that wasn't even, like, part of the script. It was just like, it's just Peter Cushing being like, who? But I mean,
maybe when they wrote the script, they intended to have a full class, full house.
I liked how when that guy goes in there too, he says, forgive my intrusion to your rooms. I'm going to say that when I walk into places now. Forgive my intrusion to your rooms.
Yeah, it's you know, professors, you know, they're focused, you know, they're laser focused. You gotta, you can't intrude on them. So yeah, but he believes. He's like, I think you're right, and I know I know you're right, because this whole thing, these vampires, they took over my, you know, home, and it's great.
It's his family name.
Yes.
And he has the gigantic bat necklace, the golden medallion. Yes.
Let's talk about this sweet piece of bling.
I love it.
Because I want one of these, but the funniest thing, like, I was just thinking, like, I mean, there was so little consideration taken into how to transition from like flashbacks to like what was actually going on. I felt like I just felt like they just like faded in and out of these flashbacks, and it was like, what? Where are we? What's going on?
I was actually I was thinking that too, like because at the beginning, you know, and then there's a jump forward, and then it's like Van Helsing is telling the story of the vampires, and then it's like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, like Scooby-Doo, and then he's back in the classroom. It's like, what time are we? Where are we? Where are we now? Are we watching the vampires?
Because the flashbacks are really long. Okay.
There's not any, like, voiceover or anything, like, that this is a story or anything like that. It's just, like, it's happening currently. But then we get, like, so the guy snatches one of these bats off of him, and he deflates like a balloon.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty fantastic way for a vampire to go out.
It is. It's pretty cool. It happens a few times in this, spoiler warning.
You know,
pretty good for 1974 special effects, I guess. I'll just say that.
I will say that the budget on this film is most definitely significantly lower than even the other two late Hammer Dracula films. I mean, this is the ninth in the line. This is the ninth time that Peter Cushing has played Van Helsing for the Hammer films. And
his salary must have got up there by this point. You know, they're probably, most of the budget probably went to him.
And also, it's like a co-production with the, you know, the famous Shaw Brothers. So they were kicking in some money, too.
That's true.
I know that they were like, you guys on don't.
Location. Yeah, Hong Kong.
You guys don't know how to film these fight scenes. Let's boost that up a little bit.
Yeah. But it is a little, as far as the storytelling goes, it is a little weird. Like, yeah, they're back and forth. You're like, oh, now they're back in the classroom. Oh, okay, well. And then they're at this party later. I mean, I don't know. It's all over the place. You're just like, all right. But yeah, so they want him to come to this exhibition. His son agrees. This guy, Leland, he's kind of like he's a bit of a wuss.
He's like, I was calling him to myself, the only person I was watching this with. He's Harry Styles. Like, oh, hey, look, it's Harry Styles.
It's actually Robin Stewart, but yes, sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was, the special effects were more of, it was definitely, it seemed more like a Shaw Brothers production than anything. I think Hammer brought Peter Cushing and like the couple of English players to the table, and that was about it. I think that this was a, I think that Hammer was approached by the Shaw Brothers to make this. Like, I think it was more of that kind of a,
the set design in the room where you sacrifice virgins. Like, they use that set a bunch. Because they only had a couple of sets, but
they definitely made use of that.
That was a weird scene. Like, yeah, like so the blood runs down into this. It looks like this sort of Kool-Aid pool. You know, like that's sort of at the bottom. They're around on these slabs all in a circle, and as they bite the necks of these women, the blood runs down and they just collects in this big tub.
Loose.
And it looks like it looks like Kool-Aid. It's very
also ready for the party.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a close-up shot of like a stake going through somebody's heart or something, or blood on a sword, let's say, it's like not something I'm used to, just red paint. Like, that's the color of it. It looks like red paint.
Yeah, it's very.
That was definitely the look back then. They hadn't really gone for realistic blood at that point. It was always very much a very opaque blood. I mean, can we talk about these vampires for a second?
Yes,
tearing open the shirts of all of the women in the village.
Yeah, I was going to
literally get one after another, and it was like the exact same thing over and over, but.
There were some just gratuitous boob shots.
Boob
A. Yeah. I mean, not to... Hey, not complaining, but it doesn't exactly serve the story. It is, like you said, it's sort of just this line. It's like, is that part of the ritual? I mean, I guess, I suppose it is.
It reminded me also of the that in this last season of What We Do in the Shadows when they captured the guys. And it was just like everybody was like strung up.
So so they meet, we also have to talk about Vanessa. We meet her, she's, was her husband died or whatever, and she has all this money and she wants to sort of bankroll them to go on this expedition.
And she's like, how much would it cost? And he goes, 10,000 Chinese dollars. I was like, oh, that's not a real thing, but okay.
And she says, all right,
I've got that.
Okay, well, here you go. Yeah, no problem. Here we go. Let's do this.
But I'm coming. I'll find it, but I'm coming. Right. Oh, this is much, much too dangerous for a woman.
Oh, no. She's going. And I thought for sure this was like, oh, this, she's going to be like a... She's like integral to the story. And I guess, you know, in a way she is, but... Well, we'll get to it.
But later. Then, you know, when they do leave for this exhibition, then it turns into like a Shaw Brothers movie. There's a convoy and they are attacked. And
well, they get
just kung
first
fu.
They get attacked on the street. First they get attacked on the street
out
of nowhere, and people are just stabbing everybody because apparently that's what's going on in China at this time. Or at least that's what we're telling American audiences was going on in China.
Yeah.
And they're being attacked by a group called the Tongs, which I don't even understand why they were being attacked.
Right. I don't think it ever really, just to show that there would be danger on this exhibition. It's a, this is a sort of like the From Dusk Till Dawn style, like, oh, suddenly it becomes a kung fu movie. Like, you know, it's kind of interesting.
I guess,
but
the Tongs,
yeah,
that means like they were like mobsters or gangsters.
Oh, I thought it was like those things like when you're barbecuing, you can turn the wings over with.
Oh, yeah, little... I like that.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's fun. I never really have watched a lot of kung fu movies, I guess I should say right now. So
I've just seen like the major Wu-Tang ones, Shaolin versus Wu-Tang and stuff. It's actually pretty cool in these days of streaming. RZA does some like commentary tracks you can buy tickets to, because, you know, Wu-Tang Clan is like all based on like Shaw Brothers mythology, but he goes way into it, like all the little details. That's like one of the fun things you can do in these days of COVID-19 is like watch like Shaolin versus Wu-Tang with RZA commentary.
All right. Well, there you go.
I mean, the film also, like, so, you know, in those scenes, we're getting set up with the brothers, the guys with the axe, the guys with the arrows, you know, all that kind of stuff.
The guy with the axe was, I love the.
The two axes,
the two
just
axes
running in like that.
Yeah.
My favorite was the mace guy, but you know, everybody's got it's like their favorite Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's also a female, we should point out. They're not.
That's true.
They're not all brothers.
This is actually something I wrote down to talk about, because they're like, you know, they fight all their way through this thing and then they're like settling down for the night. And after they've been traveling with these guys with axes and maces all day, he introduces them to Van Helsing at night. Well, let me introduce you to my brother. He's the one with the axe.
Asleep too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the one with the axe, and he's the one with the mace, and he's the one with the swords.
So this film was also released as The Seven Brothers Meet Dracula.
Yes.
Which was, I believe, the UK release. I could be wrong. It's either the UK
It can't be that much different, right? I mean, who knows?
Well, no, but it was. It makes me wonder if did the Shaw Brothers have like the Seven Brothers as like a series? Like, was that like an ongoing thing? And then this was just like a really weird crossover.
Maybe sort of like, yeah, like
Like Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello, right? I was just gonna say. I wonder. That's a good it's a good thing to Seven Brothers. I mean, they're yeah, I don't know. Maybe just sort of like a series, and they were just like, yeah, we'll do that. I don't know. There's too much stuff. I can't really Google it. Oh, because
The
I type on
posters all have
cake.
the best taglines though.
There's
So
not.
one says Black Belt versus Black Magic. You haven't seen Kung Fu until you've seen the seven brothers and one sister take Dracula.
They do have some great taglines. Yeah.
There's not a ton online about this. You have to read and research this film. You basically are led to like a handful of like DVD reviews and just like, you know, people really into like are there Hammer movies or Shaw Brothers movies, and there's just not a lot about like, you know, it's not one of those things that's such a touchstone that like there's a lot even written about it.
Oh, it's true. Well, I mean, even the director, we can talk about the director, I guess. Ward Baker, who's the American director. He's called the movie a failure, and he said like he just said nobody knew what anyone was doing during
I
the
mean, that's kind of apparent for the most part.
Yeah. But I think they had problems with him too. I you know, because like you said, Clay, he wasn't really directing them the way they wanted. He wasn't directing the kung fu parts the way they wanted. Apparently, he was telling people to stop spitting on the set, and I don't know if that's a language barrier thing or what. But yeah, so there are different versions. I don't know, but I don't know who's
I don't
right
know that
wrong.
we're missing anything in the different version. I think it's all pretty much gonna end up in the same place.
Well, yeah, because there's a lot of just like, okay, they're traveling, and then they get attacked, and then there's, you know, they're sleeping in the cave at night, and they get attacked by the fishbowl vampire, you know, bats, the fishbowl vampire bats,
And
like you
this guy
said.
did do a lot of Hammer movies, it looks like, and he has one interesting one about Moon Zero 2, where he's like somebody's like selling like timeshare condos on the moon or something, which sounds bizarre. But it looks like he has a lot of horror, you know,
Cred, yeah, it's
cred.
been,
I don't know if
yeah.
he's what would you say, Sam? He's a good director for other horror movies that aren't this one with the Shaw Bros.
Well, he did do
Cars
some
of
like okay ones,
Dracula.
actually. The Quatermass in the Pit is one that people tend to like a lot. The Vampire Lovers as well. It looks like he did Scars of Dracula, which is iffy. The Asylum is pretty cool. He did the Vault of Horror, which is based on like the EC comics.
Oh, that's
It was
cool.
the yeah. So they in it in like 73 and 74 they did the Vault of Horror, and then they did the Tales from the Crypt one, which I think Peter Cushing is in. I don't know if he's in both. He is in the Tales from the Crypt one, but they did like two movies. I think they were going to try to they're anthology films, and then the other one on here that I think is pretty great is The Monster Club,
That
which
seems right
again
up
is
your alley.
well, it's another anthology movie with it's kind of got all the old players in it. It's Vincent Price and Donald Pleasance is in it, and John Carradine, and
Nice.
it's like it's one of those movies that like was on the cusp of. It was like right at the beginning of the 80s, so everything in it is like trying to be extra hard 80s. It's really kind of weird. I'll send you some stuff from it. There's like a there's sort of like a proto-punk band playing in this club, this
Oh,
monster
nice.
club, and it's pretty silly.
Like that episode of Quincy that had the punk band that wasn't really a punk band.
Oh yeah.
Well, so he was an experienced director, though. He wasn't just someone they found, you know.
Yeah, I think he was. I think in this particular situation, he was kind of a victim of circumstance. I think
right.
was like not. It was like on paper, this seems like such a great idea, but the reality of trying to make this film is probably really fucking hard and really just not. I don't know. It's just
got like a language barrier thing, like no doubt. You know, like you've got two different styles of filmmaking. You know, the Shaw Brothers have a signature look too, just like Hammer does.
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, I think a lot of it really is that Hammer was this, because this is kind of the end of the Hammer horror era, as far as like their films. Like this is definitely like a low point in their catalog, but it was probably towards the end, and they were probably just like, listen, we'll license out our name and give you these people to work with, and you guys make the movie. Because, you know, that guy is, he's credited as a director, but so is Chang Che.
Yeah.
Who, I'm looking at it now, he was a Kung Fu director. So, and he did a ton of stuff, it looks like. But, you know, so I think there was a lot of that. I think there was like some weird, just like strange, like, just pay us some money and you can have these people kind of thing.
Right.
Not really, right.
Not really, we're going to make some art. We're going to make a great film. I don't mean that to be like mean, because yeah. Obviously I have an affection for this film, but it was, you know, Hammer started off in 1958, I think, with the Dracula movie. And they were like, you know, they were giving Universal a run for their money. They were in color. They were, you know, and so they felt a lot more modern. Even the one that was made in 1958 feels very, it's a little groovy. Like it's got that British invasion kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
Even back then. And it's, you know, just fun flicks. And I mean, you had people like Cushing and you had Christopher Lee that gave it a lot of, you know, feeling and a lot of gravitas. And it was just like, it was a really interesting, it's interesting to watch their films kind of just sort of digress into, eh, whatever, we'll just make that.
It's like the Fast and the Furious movies.
And Shaw Brothers too, like they, as far as like production movies go, like they're used to like kind of cranking out a lot of product, you know, like, so to them, I don't think that it mattered how much the story mattered. It was accurate or whatever. This is just, you know, another line item. Let's get this movie out the door. It's my impression.
Probably seems like it. Yeah, I mean, it seems like it. So yeah, so throughout these attacks in the cave and everything, so some of the, there are six vampires and three of them get killed. Peter Cushing, Van Helsing, with his brilliant, you know, stab at the heart, you know, or whatever, you know, line. And they so like when you, I love that he grabs the heart out of the vampire and he just, again, melts sort of into, you know, nothingness, which is great.
I love, one of my favorite things is that the vampires have to take off that golden mask before they disintegrate for some reason.
Right.
Yeah. And they're dying, like the throes of their dying.
So they're also trying to, the village is being terrorized by the six remaining vampires, because there is the one that the guy's grandfather stole the necklace from.
Right.
And then they're going to try to resurrect that one so that they'll be back to full force.
Yes.
And
but then
they get to the point where they're doing the Mandalorian episode, teaching the village to take a final stand against the vampires.
Yep.
Yeah.
With a fire moat, and you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, the fire moat is great. It's like Army of Darkness almost. Ash See, like, yeah,
I'm getting the Army a lot of Army of Darkness vibes in this.
But yeah, but it's funny because like after they're like, "Whoa, Peter Critch is like, we killed three of them." But like it's kind of like maybe we shouldn't do this. And he's like, "Ah, we," and it's I gotta say.
I love the ambush in the cave because everybody's like running around doing kung fu and being ridiculous, and Peter Cushing is just kind of standing there staring at everybody, and just keeps cutting back to him, just looking at
It
everybody
even
else fighting.
it's like Peter Cushing's finest acting moment is, okay, you're nodding off, Peter, you're nodding off, and he's like, okay, I can
Yeah,
do
I know
that.
he's like falling asleep.
And
But
I
I love
thought,
it. He has to like get he has to fall over the fire before he picks up one of the burning like torch, like from the fire to wave it around. He has to literally fall over it before he's like, "Oh, I can use this."
this was one of the most laziest, dumbest, but, and I say that also in a complimentary way, the laziest,
Yes,
dumbest
dumbest.
way to have a bat, a fishing pole bat, turn into a vampire. They just like they don't even cut. They're just like we're gonna throw the bat over there, and you're gonna come out from the other end of the wall. Like
Yeah.
that's how you're gonna transform.
And they did it
Well,
twice. Yeah. Well, hey, it's 1974. What do you expect?
I fucking love every second of it. I love that.
It's I don't know, man. It's just, this is like one of those fantastic is just like who was on drugs and was like, this is a great
This
freaking idea.
rolls. This
Let's
is
do this.
working.
Let's do this
Yeah.
right now.
So yeah,
I
the big.
will
Sorry.
say
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I love the visuals of this movie so much. Like I love the character design as far as excuse me.
That's fine.
I love the way the undead look, like this just that really basic skull face. I think they're pretty spooky. I think they're really fun. And then the golden vampires themselves, like they have such a cool look to them. And it is this like there is a fantastic artistry to what they did.
Yes.
Yeah,
The,
I
and
agree. The
not a
masks
Western
are
way
cool.
to,
Yeah.
and it's like I like this stuff because I like when modern stuff tries to recapture that. Like there's that artist Francesco Francavilla that does a lot of art covers, and he's like can really draw pulp covers and make it look like an old movie poster and stuff like that. And did you guys ever see The Love Witch from
No, I didn't get to
2016?
watch, but they did a really fantastic job with what I have seen of capturing
It
that
looks
look.
like you could it looks like they made the movie in the 70s, but they like shot it in 4K. It's like really great, like for everything from like really bright colors and the set designs and like the costumes and everything. It like looks so accurate that there's only you have to fine tooth comb that movie to be like, oh, that car is a little bit too modern. But you couldn't tell. If somebody were to show you that movie from 2016, you would think it came out in 1972.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a great look. They're going 1904 in this one, but yeah, but the masks, I agree. Like the vampires do look really cool. They're wearing sort of these robes. It's not the traditional like sort of like I don't know, like Tom Cruise kind of look.
And the
It's
teeth
they're
are
wearing
like
these
just long
teeth
and
are cool.
sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
They
these
got.
big, gnarly, long fangs, and there's they have I kind of like their weird empty eye socket kind of look that they got going on, and
Yeah.
it's just yeah, it's just neat looking. I mean, it was just a really nice like I find it interesting too because they could have very easily and they probably purposely did this, but it's like the idea of what a Chinese vampire actually is. I don't know if either of you are familiar with this.
No, this is cool.
Chinese vampires
Like
can only
Oni,
hop.
like a demon kind of thing. I don't know,
Oh
maybe.
no. It's they're quite like, it's kind of hard.
Like
it's kind of hard.
Google image.
They're in very, very like stereotypical garb, long braid up down the back of their head, and they hop. And it's the silliest thing.
Huh.
Is that why like the undead were sort of hopping? Is that why I thought they looked like they were from Monty Python and the Holy Grail doing the? Because kind of they were kind of hopping. Yeah, maybe that was done in. I thought it was just a weird kind of goofy choice, but apparently
now I'm thinking of a big trouble in Little China.
You got the big trouble in that Little China.
I'm thinking of.
So it's called a Zhengshi, which is also known as a Chinese hopping vampire, which is a type of reanimated corpse in Chinese legends and folklore. They're typically depicted as a stiff corpse dressed in official garments from the Qing dynasty. And they move around by hopping with its arms stretched out.
Wow.
And it kills living creatures to absorb their ki or their life force, usually at night, while during the day it rests in a coffin or hides in dark spaces such as caves.
Uh-huh.
So really they are like just like at the beginning of the movie when Cushing is giving his speech, they're like, we've been here for 3,000 years, man. Don't come here with your Dracula bullshit. We've seen a lot of stuff. And they have their own ancient vampires.
Yep.
Well, like maybe
1985
they also,
is Mr.
Maybe they
Vampire.
Shouldn't have slept in that cave. Like maybe, you know, the cave will be safe from the wild animals.
Yeah, maybe spend some of that $10,000 Chinese dollars on like a Motel 6 or something. You know what I mean?
So anyways, but yeah, to get to... We're in the final, like the big climax, the flaming moat, the whole thing. They're killing some of the vampires because they're aiming for the heart and whatever. But meanwhile, some of the Chinese siblings are also dying in battle as well. And even Vanessa, who I thought like, she's gonna like, because they were sort of hinting at some romance and stuff, and she gets bitten by a vampire, and then. I don't want to butcher their names, I guess, but C, I guess, is that his name? But he was the one that I thought there was a little romance there, and he has to kill her by driving her through the wooden stake and everything. And I guess, and then he kills himself as well on the same.
Yeah, because stake. She just bit him, so
he
was going to be turned. And that particular. For some reason, that when the vampire bites her, I was like, that vampire looked like C-3PO just now. Because he's got the golden face, but he like kind of really looked like C-3PO.
Well, yeah. I guess, I don't think it was Anthony Daniels, but a different Star Wars actor. Yes.
A portent. Things to come.
Yes. And then, the two twin siblings who are always kind of like fighting, holding hands, they end up getting killed. I didn't see if the axe guy got killed. Did the axe guy get it? Or do we know? I don't know. I hope the axe guy made it because, he was great. But anyway, yeah.
So, the conclusion, Dracula turns to dust. Again.
Well, that's really like Van Helsing and he are sort of fighting it out. Like Dracula dies rather quickly and easily after like waiting 100 years for this moment. Peter Cushing kind of just stabs him.
But also I thought that it was pretty ballsy. I mean, Van Helsing's a badass anyways, but I just think it was pretty ballsy. He's just like he turns from being the face of the Chinese guy back into Dracula. And then Van Helsing just kind of standing there like, what are you going to do about it? Drac. and then Dracula's just like smacking him around. He's not really doing much to defend himself. He's just like, banged back and forth.
He's a proper English gentleman. He may fight vampires, but he's not uncouth.
Yeah. You almost think they're gonna work it out, like they're gonna talk it out, like I'm gonna let you go, Drac, or something. You know what I mean? Like we've been like Batman, Joker, like who are we without each other? You
Right,
know?
we're old enemies. But I guess it's, I just thought like maybe because of maybe movies these days, there's so much the end fight scene is always like sort of very long and drawn out, almost too much in most movies. But this one, he literally just picks the stick up and stabs him. Like it's like, yeah, like Dracula hits him like one, like a couple times, and then
Yeah,
he
like
grabs the stick, and
backhand
that's the end of that.
smacks him.
Yeah,
Well,
and then that's
I
it.
mean, so over the course of the Hammer Dracula films, Dracula is staked, or sorry, he's caught in the sunlight and he turns to dust.
Yeah,
He
he's
comes
died a
back.
lot.
Yeah, he comes back. He falls under the ice at one point. There's another one where he gets stabbed through the heart with a broken carriage wheel. He
Jesus.
then is resurrected
Poor
when
guy.
blood drips on his medallion, and then he is I can't remember when he dies in that one, but then he comes back in Dracula in 1972. He comes to swing in London, and I can't recall how that one ends, but in Satanic Rites of Dracula, basically there's this other plot going on that it turns out that it's actually Dracula orchestrating this entire thing, this weird fake satanic cult.
Wow.
And it's in 1973, so it's directly after 1972 AD. And then this was the final film really in the series. So it's
So
very
this is
confusing
how
as
he
to
dies?
how many Draculas there really are.
Yeah, I mean, how many Drac? Right, because this is 1904.
Right.
So, like, yeah, like, says he must have come back from this one too, I guess, at some point, right?
And then
Because then he.
I called it. I was saying to myself, self, you know what this reminds me of? When he goes into the pool, I guess the pool of blood.
The Kool-Aid, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think
But
yeah.
I thought that was the I thought that was the Joker scene, like the famous like Red Hood, you know, like I was like he's gonna come out of there laughing, you know, his face
Yeah,
is
right.
gonna,
Well,
well, his face is already white, let's be honest.
it all bubbles and everything when he falls in it, and then it kind of evaporates, right? And there's just like
Yeah,
the
and there
stake
was
that's
like
just there.
how do you this is more of like an actual film question. How do they do like those dissolves, like an actual real dissolve in film? Because this one wasn't done very well, but they dissolved right from the, you know, the bubbling Kool-Aid to a sword or whatever, a stake
Yeah.
and a skeleton.
And it's kind of melting the, yeah, I don't know. I mean, how they did it back then, I don't know. I even remember when we were kids and with like a video camera, you would do like a fade, you know, like the video cameras had like the fade button, but I don't know how they did it back then, but yeah, it's not great. I mean, hey, it was all they had. But
Yeah.
it's funny. I mean, it's funny. I agree with you. Like the eyeballs, like, or the eye sockets kind of like melting in was like, and they focused on that for a while. So it kind of was.
I guess you do it
Oh,
in the
and
optical printer in this
yeah,
day
I
and age.
guess. And like that was all very like dramatic too, because he was going to sacrifice the sister, you know. But so they rescued her, and Leyland came along and untied her, or freed her from her shackles. And yeah, Peter Cushing did his job. And
And they clomp their way out of that set. They get very last, you know, dollars and cents out of that. Hold on. Slowly walk out of this. So we're going to have the camera on it for a little bit more. Okay. Get their money's worth.
get their money's worth. Well, this movie didn't do that well. I didn't get any figures, actually. I wonder if I can find that. the gross was. I know it didn't do great. It was considered a failure at the box office.
There's apparently a planned sequel.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you have a sequel to something that doesn't do well?
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, it's didn't. I don't have any. I guess I would have to get IMDb Pro, but I'm not going to do that. Maybe they probably made the 10,000 Chinese dollars that they.
I hope so.
It was enough for an expedition, that's for sure. But yeah. I will say that I recommend people at least check this out. You can watch it for free on YouTube and Dailymotion. So
Dailymotion, yeah, you sent that
really,
link.
You really got nothing to lose. Thought.
I like Dailymotion too because you can sometimes when I'm trying to like listen to a podcast, I speed it up a little bit. There was like some segments in this, and I put it on 1.5 speed. I was like, yeah, let's go here. Let's move it along.
I did find a better copy on YouTube than the one that I had previously.
And then I don't know how else you could watch it. I guess you'd probably have to buy the DVD.
Yeah, so. Scream Factory has a Blu-ray of it, which is a 2K scan of the film. Because, you really needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
That extra high def.
That made me. I saw that. I was looking at that. I wasn't going to buy it, but I was just like checking it out. And I was like, then I had to go look up what 2K scan meant. And, that's like double. 4K scan. that's a pretty good quality.
But yeah. I mean, I will watch just about any crappy horror movie that has Peter Cushing in it anyways, but you throw in some cool looking kung fu fighting vampires and it's definitely worth a it's a fun time.
I agree, it's worth the hour and a half or 72 minutes or whatever version you end up watching, but it's definitely
you can make it shorter, just speed it up a little bit
and just speed it up like Clay's. Yeah, you're probably not missing any of the plot, so don't worry about that.
But I mean, just kind of in our times of great anxiety, this and now that's Halloween and it's like not a regular Halloween, this was a good pre-Halloween watch for 2020, I would say.
I agree. Absolutely. Well, I would recommend it. Thanks. Yeah, it's easy. Thanks for coming on, Sam. We're gonna wrap up here. Those were our final thoughts. So check us out on leaguepodcast.com. Sam, do you have are you still Monsters Are Good? You
were monstersaregood.com.
Okay, good. Check that out for all of your monster needs, especially around Halloween.
Yeah, it's Halloween
time. I'm going to try to post this, tomorrow so we can get this all up here and get it up for Halloween. So check out martinsarcode.com.
Yeah.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Leave us a little review and a like and some stars and at least just listen. At least listen. Yes. Thanks to you for listening.
Thanks to you. Say. Have a happy Halloween, everybody.
The vampires dig their sharp fangs into their necks, the blood flows, the screams die away.